Well, I think college golf, which rightfully so, it's how the coaches are paid and compensated and what everything is based on how you play this year. And I don't know that real development always coincides with that calendar.
Yeah.
And things that people need to do.
How about a little staking?
You know, I'm pretty well convinced that staking and some Dew Sweeper TV is all you need to play better golf.
Follow me and Coop. Get you a staycay. Come over to Dew Sweeper TV and let's get your game better.
All right, joining me here on another Tour Coach from the Golf Dorm, sponsored by Staycay, I might add, which has made me feel incredibly relaxed this evening and enjoyed my dinner with everybody at the Hurricanes. Going to kind of do a little roundtable discussion on things that we've learned on the golf course from some different perspectives. Got some good questions for Will McFadden. Joining us once again, Willie Mack, down here doing some work, grinding on his game, practicing, doing a little caddying. Chase Gullickson, longtime Dew Sweeper, not a frequent one, but a longtime one, and had the opportunity to caddy for Shuby this year, Canadian Tour, or America's Tour event, in fact, that he was in contention, almost won. And really, the star of this show, the Shubster, Shubham Jaglin.
Wow.
I did it right.
You did.
You did it right. So
crushed it.
So the Shubster, if you follow the Tour Coach and you follow the Dew Sweepers, I think everybody knows all three of y'all, but everybody knows the Shubster. It's a silky, smooth swing all the way from India that's worked our way into the Dew Sweeper heart. So, glad to have you. And congratulations on a heck of a run.
Yeah.
I think last time you were on, we talked, you had just gotten some America's Tour starts.
Yeah.
And you had that good finish. I think we talked, it was after that.
I think so, yeah.
And then because you were getting ready to go over to Asia and play Asian Tour qualifying school, which you successfully did. And you also played really good in some tournaments over in India.
Yeah.
With the tour there. Which actually, I'm going to start with, fascinated me how, I guess because you're traveling and obviously Andy's been around the world and, you know, there's a couple other guys I do some stuff online with, how global golf's getting and how good the tours are. Tell me a little about this golf in India. I mean,
yeah,
I was kind of glued watching the highlights as they were coming.
Yeah.
Stretch, you had a chance to get a second. Anyway, so I think a little staycay and you might have won the thing, but anyway, go ahead. Or I would have taught you better, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think, no, you're exactly right. And I think a lot of international guys, we're talking a little bit about that. Like, we have the opportunity to go play some of these smaller tours. The tour in India is called PGTI, has gotten really big over the past few years.
They're a good follow on Instagram too. They put out good coverage.
Good coverage, good content. And leader of the money list gets DP World Tour status for 1 year.
Yeah. What tour is that again for people following?
PGTI.
PGTI.
Professional Golf Tour of India. And they do a great job. I mean, even the tournaments, I played three events. They run super well. And the money really is like getting good on these smaller tours. At Asian Tour Q School, I play with some guys. There's a Korean local pro tour. There's a Chinese one. And they're all like really good money. They actually play full schedules, like 20 events in a year.
Yeah.
So a lot of international guys have access to that versus people in the U.S. that might be, if they don't have status fully on a tour, they're just kind of doing mini tour events whenever they can. Versus international guys, we have access to those.
Well, I think it's interesting how professional golf's grown. Your ability and from being an international player, people that follow know you came from India to USF.
Yep.
You and Chase were roommates, teammates, and that's how we got started together.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a cool story. But like the ability or willing to go over there and practice and play, I think it's impressive. What did you learn about playing golf globally? Like, what have you learned that's helped you? Because I think your golf swing is still really good. I think you've grown more as a player and just all around person and player having to go over and do that. And then we're going to ask your caddy what the hell he thinks about this.
I think I've just started to enjoy it so much more. Like me and Chase driving up here, we drove from Orlando. We're talking a little bit about that. Like, we could be in the same situation. I remember being in college, like sophomore year, thinking, like watching like a pro event, PGA Tour event. You're like, man, I cannot imagine playing in front of so many people. Like, what if I mess up? What if I hit this bad? Like, what that would look like? And, you know, I'm now starting to be on the other side, like, which I've heard tour pro successful guys talk about. Like, they're excited to be in that situation. And I think I'm more towards that now. And that, you know, I'm just like, golf's a lot of fun to practice, especially compete. Like, you know, I get to do it as my job, and you know, it's so exciting, so rewarding when you play well, but also like the people you meet, you know, like I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for golf. So just enjoying it a lot more.
It's cool.
And yeah, I think that helps in so many ways. I mean, if you don't like your job, it's not a good sign.
Amen. So you teammates watched him through college, watched this guy come over from India, and then you go caddy yeah. for him. He's got a chance to win America's Tour, PGA Tour sanctioned deal, right? How had he grown? How have you seen him, if you consider it grown? But like, how different is he as a player and everything from that through playing a year or 6 months of professional golf, but playing all over?
From when I first met?
Yeah.
Oh man, quite a bit different for sure. He's always had that, like when he hit a ball, you know, when you see somebody hit a ball and you can tell like, okay, that's a good, like it's coming out solidly. That's not just,
yeah,
you know, that's how he's always had it. He's definitely refined his swing over time, hits a little further now, a little more accurately, but he's always had that nice sounded ball flight. Improved his short game. Putting quite a bit, but those are just physical things. Mentally, he's grown probably more, I'd say. Just weird.
Did you notice that? Did you notice that caddying for him was a different caddying than you thought it might be?
It was about how I imagined when I was going into the caddying thing.
Really?
Maybe if you'd asked me that a few years ago, it would be different. So he's definitely grown in a lot of ways. But yeah.
That's cool.
We had a good time. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
It's always fun having a friend on the bag as opposed to somebody who's working, you know, where y'all can both kind of enjoy it instead
Definitely.
Of having.
I think that's one of the things I've watched guys struggle. You know, I've obviously before stuff teach a bunch of guys coming out of college, several guys, and then obviously known them that come out and get starts, right? Or they get, yeah. And there's always that. Where the agents want you to hire this guy because he's a veteran and he's this, that, and the other, which we're all, I think, I don't know if you've met, but Baron Coop, who's a legend, right? And dear friend, not having caddy for any of us, you know, but like there's that thought, oh, we got to get this guy some veteran. And yet then you have guys that, you know, a lot of times the player just wants somebody that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a fine line between, you know, are you better to have somebody that's been out there a bunch? Mm. Or are you better off to have somebody that you're super comfortable and that knows you? I think that changes, I think, based on player a little bit.
Yeah.
And I also think it changes based on golf course and circuit. Like if I'm going to play the Masters, I want somebody that's been there and that's won a lot of knowledge. That's more important to me there. If I'm playing, you know, if I'm playing Detroit
or PGA National
or
flat.
Yeah. I think then it's, you know, it's a little different story. So
yeah. Interesting.
You know, but it's been interesting watching guys come up and out, and you have that where people are like, oh, we got to get him a caddy. And, you know, a lot of times the player will be like, well, I want so-and-so. He caddied for me here and there, and he's a buddy, and I'm just comfortable with him. And I think there's a lot of good from being comfortable with a caddy, because I think that one thing that helps you play better is if you don't treat a tournament, whether it's PGA, whether it's a tour event, an Asia tour event, a DP World, whatever, you don't treat it any different than any other round. If you make it more than it is, I think you build up anxiety. I think you put pressure on yourself. I think Will's wash is about done. And
Lord knows I need it.
Yeah, but I just think that I think the thing about taking somebody that's a buddy that does help is when it is no different than any other round versus making it something more than that. So
yeah, definitely felt that way.
Did it?
Yeah. It just felt, even like the final round, I thought I'd be a lot more nervous. Mm-hmm. It just felt very normal and casual. And I think, that was mostly because I had someone that I was comfortable with on the bag. Mm-hmm. Our conversations didn't change. And that definitely brings a sense of comfort and allows you to focus well. Yeah, for sure.
So you made a comment today. I'm going to paraphrase. We'll talk a little bit about it. And we all kind of joked about this. Yeah, but we're just talking about, does college golf prepare you for professional golf? Curious, you guys have been. I have my thoughts, and I'll say that I think in the beginning stages does a little for people. But I personally think that if the only way you get ready to play professional golf is to play professional golf. I don't think they're the same animal. I don't think it's the same thing. I think in many cases, I think the structure over on the other side is a disservice to people trying to get better. But curious your thoughts on like the good and the bad of college golf.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great in the fact that, it's your first time living outside of your parents' house, right? It's your first time to really grow up, like learn how to cook, learn how to do all that, learn how to show up on time to things without the help of a family member. But as far as like the college golf goes, I think, from a team standpoint, you do everything as a team. And I think in professional golf, you have to know what you personally have to do. You have to have a lot of ownership of your own game. So in college golf, everybody's kind of doing the same stuff all around, and you have to be here at this time, here at this time. In professional golf, you got to manage your time in a totally different way, trying to not overuse your body, trying to not spend much time where it shouldn't really be. And so it's a different type of time management, I think, in professional golf compared to college golf.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think you made a great point. I think you're also qualifying so much in college. It's like you're either at a tournament once the season starts or you're playing some sort of qualifying. I think if you're not, like, if you're the standout player on the team and it's a good college team, and you go through those 4 years without ever being, challenged or never go through a bad patch, which is rare. If you do that, it feels great. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone that's gone in and needed a lot of progress or needed a lot of learnings, maybe about traveling, playing events, whatever it is, individually, if you're someone like that, then you just feel like you never have enough time to work on things. If you find, let's say me and you get together for the first time and you're like, if you really want to play good golf, there's a few changes you need to make. And maybe you won't be amazing in the next 3 weeks, but if your goal is to play pro golf in the next, 5 years and be a top golfer, you need to make these changes. I feel like you can't really do that, and especially at a top like D1 school.
Well, I think college golf, which rightfully so, it's how the coaches are paid and compensated, and what everything is based on how you play this year. And I don't know that real development always coincides with that calendar.
Yeah.
And things that people need to do. I think that's why you have them. Talking about transfer portal, but that's why you have guys that go to a place and leave, and then 2 years later, all of a sudden, they're really good, you know, because they weren't ready to be that good yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So, my thing with college golf is that, like, there is the understanding that players can have coaches and have ownership of how, where they work and how they work, and that it can help you perform better instead of worrying about, instead of always qualifying, which isn't always bad, but of always playing and being afraid that, oh, if you go take a lesson or you go do this, you might make you play bad.
Right.
Right. Like, I think, like, tour players just learn what it is that, how, when they need to work, how they need to work to play best. I don't know that college golf lets you figure that out, or coaches don't always let you figure that out.
Yeah, 100%. I think individual experience, like, each coach is different, each program is different. But I think overall, in general, once you turn pro, it's, you're just out there on your own. So you have a lot more time to figure out what works, like, for you, what practice works for you. You know, do you need to see your coach more, see him less, play more? Play, like, you know, it's all up to you to figure out, like, what works for me. I think maybe in college, since, I mean, that, like you said, it's nature of the, like, you need to be performing during the season and postseason especially. So coaches have that pressure on them that sense, which is not there in pro golf, I guess.
I got a question for you. I've been wanting to ask this. Mm-hmm. So we talked about it a little today, joking. Obviously, I helped you some towards the end. I mean, you're open. Like, heck, you have times you play great, but you've struggled. Mm-hmm. And talked about how you got too deep into looking at everything on Instagram and different tips and always trying to that. Now that you're playing, you're swinging that as good as I've ever seen you swing it, because you're not trying to play and you're really not into that. But explain, now that you step away from it, like, how easy it is to get sidetracked and to get lost and to get, like, and to get off your game. Like, it's easy to sit here and all of us talk about, man, you've played great, and you've played, but, like, you got sidetracked, got lost, and, like, now you're coming back to the game. I think that's equally as important, though, for people to understand how easy it is to get lost.
Yeah. No, it is. It is pretty easy.
And I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine.
No, I did buy you wings.
It's easy to get lost when me and Shu were talking about, when your goal isn't, like, purely for the love of the game, in some cases, that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do it because you thought it would get you money or something one day, or if you wanted to be famous or well-known in the community or something, or even in the world, if you're Scottie Scheffler or Tiger Woods, like, I don't think that's what elite players and a lot of the guys that end up going out there are focused on. You know, if Scotty,
like a Scotty,
still drives the same car he did 8 years ago or something, I think he would do it if the purses were $1 million instead of and there's no question Tiger did it for the love of the game as well. I think that's an important thing, is keeping your motivations pure and doing it for the right reasons for yourself. And, I think once I realized that I didn't like love the game that much, and because of a few things, definitely lack of self-confidence out there led to a lot of swing issues. It's being really stressed instead of confident, instead of wanting to attack. I was pretty reserved on the course. It led to a lot of anxiousness and stress. So stuff like that made me realize I didn't have an enjoyment playing tournament golf anymore.
Do you miss it now?
Yeah, I was talking to him. I do miss it actually a little bit, because, you know, you don't get excitement like that anywhere else in everyday life, probably. And I think I've done a lot of reflecting. I would hope that if I did end up playing more tournaments, hopefully I will soon in the amateur world or something,
I think that's one of the cool developments in golf in the last 10 to 15 years, especially, is the growth of the mid-am game to where there's some really good outlets and good venues. And there's things that folks that either didn't make it or chose to not keep playing and that are good, and they've raised that quality. The level of golf in mid-am golf now is very close in certain aspects, close to like high-end tour golf, you know, and the golf courses they play. And I think that's great because guys like you that now you got an MBA and you're going to run Dew Sweeper Empire, and all of those things, and manage our Stakey money and all of that as we all grow together. And, but it gives you all of a sudden, makes you fall back in love with the game.
Yeah.
But if for somebody like you that was a good player and then it didn't work out, if there's no good mid-am golf, and then other than a club championship or a member guest, how motivated are you to go really work on it? I think it's cool what mid-am golf's
become. Yeah, definitely. Some great events. One of our teammates, Brock, he graduated in 6 short years. And so the next year he stayed at AM instead of going pro initially.
He didn't want to rush things.
Yeah, so he's actually playing amateur golf right now in Australia. Pro golf in Australia. But he played amateur golf for that summer, played a string of great events. A lot of mid-am.
Like Gasparilla
mid-am to Tampa. Might have been his favorite, raving over it. But he loves amateur golf for sure, for the course that they play, the competition. He didn't want to turn pro too early. He tried to do Q school in the spring, didn't get through. So he didn't want to turn pro and miss out on all that great competition to stay sharp going into the fall for Q school instead.
Will, last question to you. So what have you learned playing professional golf this year?
I've learned all sorts of stuff. I think the most important thing that I'm starting to learn, and I need to keep learning it, keep getting better, is really just self-belief. I mean, talking with guys like Emilio and Rick and guys like that, I've played with them, competed with them for years now. Not saying that I can go out and beat them every day, but, playing with them and talking to them, my game's good enough to be out there. And so I think this year is going to be a lot of keeping that confidence rolling and understanding that I am good enough to play. I think I struggle with that sometimes. And so knowing that I am good enough to go, taking that into the tournaments and kind of playing a little bit freer and firing at it a little more. So
I think
that's my goal for the year.
Self-belief is a huge, in my opinion, determinant between those that make it and those that don't.
Yeah.
And you can watch guys on a PGA tour or a Corn Ferry tour or Asia tour or DP World Tour or Live Tour, wherever range that you would look at, they go, don't hit it as good as so-and-so or don't swing as good as so-and-so, but they believe it.
Yeah.
Right? And they believe in themselves more. And I think that's a huge part of it. And then one day you figure it out when you believe it.
Yeah.
So anyways, awesome. This was fun. Great job. Great job. You're back, buddy. That's best.
Back.
Willie Mack, always good having you in town. If anybody's wondering, that's Will's clothes. They're done. And the Schuster. Hey, we're proud of you. We're all following you. It's going to be exciting to watch. I still think Chase and I ought to do an Asian tour trip.
Oh, yeah.
And at least we live stream it, Chase.
I think that'd be great for the viewership.
Be great.
I'll come film.
I think they didn't
know. You'll come film. Willie,
there we go.
Come film. All right, another edition of Tour Coach in the Books.